tuning into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV. We are here talking about your favorite show on television, The Originals, Season 2, Episode 6, Wheel Inside the Wheel. I am your host, Roxy Stryer. I'm stuck on you, T.
Oh. That happens a lot to people.
Oh, I'm so stuck on you, baby. So I'm sitting alongside Tiana Hobson.
Hello, hello.
Cortez G. West.
What's going on?
And Katie Campbell.
Hey.
Okay, guys, let's get this episode started with a knockout. Is that too punny?
Because
the song. Good pick, by the way.
I got.
You know what I mean?
I pick it up.
Let's knock them out.
Let's knock them out.
Yeah.
Just like Esther.
Yeah.
She's a crazy one.
She is.
What did you guys think overall of tonight's episode? We got a lot of information. It was one of those where we got the flashbacks. We're learning more and more about where all of these originals come from. What did we think? Did we enjoy the amount of flashback to non-flashback ratio and just the episode in general?
I think they were very informative, especially for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I loved it.
Cool.
I liked the flashback, but I wanted more of the flashback in the episode. You know, because it started off, we opened with it, and then we didn't go back to that moment of, you know, the sisters there until almost the middle or the end. And I was like, wait, by that time, so many other things were happening that I was kind of like, wait, like that was part of this episode too. So I wanted it to be more involved because it wasn't a lot of flashback, but it was very important information in the flashback.
Okay.
Yeah. I enjoy the flashbacks. I always do. I want to see more, like you said. We learned so much about the other child. We learned the name. We learned all this information. But I don't know. I think that sometimes, I don't know, they just don't give enough.
Well, that's because they leave you wanting more.
Exactly.
And Julie, you know, Plec, I mentioned before, said that we were going to learn more about Michael and Esther. And I think that was it in this episode. We did learn a little bit about it and her choice with, you know, having an affair. But I wanted more from that.
Well, we haven't even seen them interact yet. So I know that you're going to get more. But we have to hold off on that part of the episode. We're saving that for a little later. Let's talk about what's going on in Marcel land for a second. So Marcel is very powerful within himself at this point, and he's kind of rallying together people with Haley's help, and he's got Gia, who I'm just growing to really like her character, honestly. I didn't know that there was room for a new character on the show, and all of a sudden, I'm really enjoying her.
Yeah, from ugly to, I wonder what you thought about me when you first met me.
What do you mean?
Because when you first met Gia, you was like, she's ugly.
No, that is not what I said. I said that something up, like, I think that she had really dark circles, so it was hard to see her eyes, so I felt like I couldn't relate to her. And then after 15 minutes, I was like, okay, guys, I take it back. But I did. I had a hard time. I think my words were, I'm having a hard time looking at her face. It wasn't because she was ugly. It was because there was like nothing there. There was no substance because I couldn't see. But whether it was the makeup team, I mean, she's clearly a gorgeous girl.
I think it was more technical. Maybe they needed to learn her lighting and what scene to really put her in or how to frame her or something.
She's really grown on me, though. I mean, especially tonight, what she does for Marcel, obviously, we can trust her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she said that in real life, she's a runner and she everything she ran from. And now she's here. She's here to stay. I have a quote somewhere.
She feels at home with what Marcel is trying to do with this, you know, family of vampires.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
She fits in for once.
Well, he knew that when he chose her.
Well, we don't know much about her past either. I mean, we learn a little bit when she says that, you know, she says, so I'm in, no running, no matter what. That was the quote. I thought that was really strong. And that, yes, we don't know that much, but we don't really need to know. All we needed to know was that she said that she wasn't like this in her previous life, and now she is. Because being a vampire changes you. So I'm glad to have her on the team, especially because she saved our boy's butt tonight.
And then almost got her butt killed in the process.
Yeah, but I forgot that as part of the exchange going on, Klaus had given Marcel some... I guess, storage blood? Like, what would you call that? Like, here, take some of my blood. Storeway, case yeah. Me. Yeah.
A backup supply.
I mean, is that like a refrigerate only?
He said he's running out. He said he's running out, though.
Yeah, I was interested about that. They obviously threw that there for a reason. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that he's not comfortable enough yet with Klaus just to ask for more? Does that mean that there's going to be an issue in the future? I mean, what do you guys think? Why did they throw that line in there?
I think there might be an issue in the future where somebody gets bit and they may not be able to be saved.
My biggest question was, how much of the blood did you need? Because he had that whole vial and, you know, she took a good healthy sip of it, but she didn't drink the whole thing. So I'm like, if I just take like a quick sip of it, am I still going to get healed? Is there a certain amount that each person needs?
Well, remember last season when Davina ends up taking Klaus's blood off the ground and she only gets a vial full and she can only give it to Josh or Marcel. There's only enough for one of them. And Marcel ends up giving it to Josh, but then Marcel lives anyway. It seemed to us like you needed a specific amount.
Yeah.
That amount didn't seem to be the amount that we needed tonight.
Tonight, right.
I'm watching you, original, and your blood levels. Right. Okay? I mean, that's what super fans do, right? We should go back and, like, take out a measuring tape. And
measure each vial.
Exactly.
Do the math.
See what's going on. Okay, so the reason Marcel is standing outside of this bar is because Cammy works there, and she's meeting up with our boy Finn.
You mean Vincent?
Yeah, whatever you want, to call
whatever
him.
We're calling him this day.
This guy creeps me out way more than Cole creeps me out. Mm-hmm. Is everybody else getting that like clingy, weird, needs attention vibe from him?
I think from whom?
From Finn. Finn Vincent.
I think he's like that back from when we talked about it before. Back from his past and with his mother, he always wanted the attention. So maybe he's just like that. In general, but I'm creeped out by him. I think that they're doing an amazing job developing his character this season. We didn't really see anything much of him when he was in Vampire Diaries. There wasn't, too much of him.
He wasn't a big focus there.
You know, it's weird, though, because I felt like I was picking up on the fact that Cammy was being super awkward. I mean, we were.
Yeah, she started off cool. And then she did. She went downhill.
At the meeting when she had the dagger.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Okay. And I was like, there's no way he's not picking up on this. But it seems like he really didn't. It was like whoosh right over his head.
No, well, he picked that up.
Yeah, you think so? Yeah.
I think so too. I definitely think he picked it up because he kind of alluded to it by saying those things. And then at the end of it, though, he grabbed her hand. So she's thinking, oh, he's into me. And she said on the phone, he's into me. I can, you know, do what I want with him now. I can catch him by surprise, but I think he's like, okay, I'm going to let her think that.
Ah. See, I took it as him starting to get suspicious of her with her line of questioning, but then once she kind of eased out of it again and kind of did the deal, like, okay, maybe he was kind of like, maybe I'm overreacting, maybe she's not, but, you know, I mean, she'd already walked out on him earlier that day, too. So clearly the girl was acting weird all day towards him. So and I was like, maybe he picked up on it, but then isn't really harping on it and doesn't think it's anything to worry about yet.
I went back and forth so many times. I mean, one of the problems with me watching the show is that I try to wait for today to watch, and I watch with Katie, who has watched it a bajillion times before, so I keep looking at her to answer my questions. I'm like guessing out loud, and I'm like, oh my god, he knows he's gonna kill her right now, isn't he? He's gonna kill her. She's like, I'm not telling you.
I know you don't want me to answer you, really.
I know, but it's like, so I thought so many things back and forth. Some points I thought that he was getting it, but then by the end of it, I really thought that he wasn't. But then I thought he was over-listening to our conversation, and I was like, Marcel, you're a resident vampire. You should know that him being a witch or whatever it is that he is, he's got super hearing, I'm sure, so tell her to shut up. He can hear this conversation, but we didn't see that. I don't know if he heard it. Maybe he heard it.
I think he went home to his mama.
Yeah. He's one of those, definitely one of those grown men that you hear that's still, like, breastfeeding.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know stories about that? It's like the 17-year-old boy that's still breastfeeding. I feel like that's him. Nobody agrees. You're just going to make me look like an ass.
I'm going to help you out and change the subject off of that right now.
You're such a good friend.
I am.
Thanks, T.
But I like where Cammy's head is at, where she thinks that he's into her, because if you look at Cammy and you look at Esther, like original Esther, they kind of favor, like, the blonde hair and everything. So if he is kind of into her, then he really does have, like, a mommy complex where, you know, he's, like, now it's like, oh, well, like, she's a pretty girl. I can see why my brothers are screwing human girls and having fun.
So
and
in the way that I was thinking Cole was starting to fall for Davina, actually, you're thinking that he really is starting to fall for Cammy.
I don't know if it's falling for her, but intrigued and wanting to know more about her.
Were you guys impressed with Cammy tonight and the way that she stepped up to the plate and pretty much volunteered to be bait?
She's always been that way, though. Mm-hmm.
I just haven't seen it. I mean, sell me. Sell me her. I'm just getting... I don't know. Maybe I get riled
up. I don't feel like we have to sell you on Cammy, because Cammy is very... imperative to like this show. I really mm-hmm. think that she's gonna do something to show you guys, and it's gonna be like a wow factor.
She is, and she said this is her family legacy to make sure that these things go on, all that stuff that's in, you know, that one room. Mm-hmm. So I think she is gonna bring something to the table. I love Cammy.
I'm glad we're bringing the room back into it, though. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting mm-hmm. that there's so much going on. I want to sit in the room for a few hours
and look around and say, what's that for?
Yeah,
that
for? I know.
What's
that? Seriously.
It's a lot of stuff in that room, so I think she has a lot of power to do stuff.
Mm-hmm. T, you have a face. I know your face.
Yeah, she made my face. You she made that face when I said that.
Oh, I know her face.
But you know my life. I haven't figured out how to put it into words yet of my feelings about Cammy.
Okay.
In this episode in particular, I liked that she was willing to go out there and do that, but at the same time I'm like, it wasn't that impressive to me, because I don't feel like she's really in the fight. I don't know what side she's really there for besides her own side, which could go either way right now. Like, I know she doesn't want Klaus's mom to win, but I'm talking about all the other sides that are going on within here. There's still, like, you know, you have, like, the witches and the vampires and the wolves, and then there's inner feuds between all of these groups, and then even inner feuds within the vampires they're right. feuding, within the wolves they're feuding, and I don't know where she stands on any of this and how involved she actually wants to be in it, and if her family legacy was to kind of take care of the problem. I don't know what that makes her in my mind.
Well, I think she's gonna play a major part. I mean, she just wants what's right to be right. Like, she just wants everything to be okay, and she wants to protect Davina, her friend, and she obviously cares about Klaus, and she talked about Marcel too with her therapy session. So I think with that room, she'll learn more about what her family really did and what they brought to the table, and she'll get more involved.
And
like
she
that.
Can see, she can bring her own part into it. She yeah. can see what she can do to bring things back together.
I just feel like that's very idealistic. I mean, you're living in a world with vampires and wolves and witches and feud, so it's all well and good and sweet that you want everything to be right, but what does that actually look like? Like, in her dream world, how does this turn out?
At some point it was right. At some point everything was going fine.
No, because for thousands of years we've been living with vampires and we didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you were unaware that it was there doesn't mean that the world was still right.
And she was being compelled.
Yeah, you were just unaware of this truth mm-hmm. behind everything.
Well, these things matter to her now just because she's made relationships with these people.
But if right. she wants everything to be right, then shouldn't she want Esther to win and turn Klaus and everyone out? Like, not make them vampires no. anymore.
And I'm glad you said that, because that's like part of the reason why I think that Esther is a fool. I just don't think nothing that
you
I don't
think she's
think what a fool. I don't
oh,
like
she's a fool.
Yeah, everything that she's done, I have not grasped on to believing it yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got my own reasons about crazy Esther too, mm-hmm. but I'm all just right. saying, like, in Cammy's mind, if she wants everything to go back to, you know, the world that, you know, is pure, you know, a better place.
There is no going
safer.
Back.
Like, there's no going back unless you let Esther make Klaus and Elijah and her whole family not vampires
well,
anymore.
Then there's still witches and there's still werewolves. So I don't think she's trying to eliminate like Esther is. She's just trying to have peace, but mainly protect her friends. And she's trying to figure out where she stands and where she is in all of it.
All right, let's talk about her position in all of this, because I know that you guys at home have been unbelievable about keeping up with us on Twitter, YouTube, iTunes, and letting us know what you guys are thinking, especially about relationships on this show. It's a huge point of discussion.
I'll be at work and I'm like,
Yeah. I know. You have to put it down because it's like consumed your whole day if you start thinking about all the couples on this show. Like I was saying off air, unlike Vampire Diaries where you are Stelena or you are Delana, this show, you can go in so many different directions. Mm-hmm. All four of us have different opinions. Sam, who also comes and sits on our panel a lot of times, has different opinions. Like, we just don't know.
Her is crazy. Yeah. Sam, I'm going, girl, Sam. That last one you said last week.
No, but she's amazing. And that's why the show is amazing. But one of the couples that people seem to love or hate is Clammy. What is it? Klaus? Clammy? Clammy?
Clammy?
Chlamydia.
Don't blow up my Twitter because he said that.
Just kidding, guys.
I got a lot of tweets tonight.
I wish Sam was here.
I got a lot of tweets tonight about how desperate Cammy seemed. People were saying Cammy seemed so desperate to be with Klaus in the episode. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not clammy, but I didn't see her. I kind of felt her being desperate, but then I was like, no, I just think she's being awkward because she isn't good at this lying thing yet.
No, she needs to stay close to Klaus in order to find Elijah, to know that Elijah is okay. She needs to make sure that Klaus is okay. Elijah is somewhere, I mean, taken somewhere.
So you're clammy? Wait.
No, I'm not.
Klaus
and Cammy. Wait, yeah, I thought you were talking about Haley.
Yeah, that's why, because you went down Haley's storyline, so I was like, guys, that does not make sense.
No, I'm a little confused. No, we're still talking about Cammy. People who are clammy fans.
About the desperation and her being obsessed with him, I don't see that because I think there's obviously a connection between them that, you know, Cammy fans like, and you know, you don't have to like them, but there's a connection there, and she makes him vulnerable. I've said it, you know, multiple times, so it's not as though she's obsessed with this guy who doesn't know about her or doesn't care about her, or, you know, she cares about him because they've had, you know, these connections.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I think that's what we see from her.
I think what happens with Klaus in general is that for as horrible as a person as he is, every once in a while, he will give you that glimmer and that
redemption moment
and show you the man that he truly can be. Mm-hmm. And Cammy has seen that from him, mm-hmm, out of, you know, the mercy that he's given towards her and, like, you know, all that stuff from last season. So I think that when she sees this, when she's talking about him and being the psychiatrist that she wants to be, she starts thinking of she thinks of everything as a whole instead of, mm-hmm, isolated incidences. So she's like, okay, well, like, there is a person in there still.
Right. You remember he compelled her to be his psychiatrist. Well, write his
memo. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it does seem right now, though, like there are, I'm using the word couple, not as in relationship, but two people. The power couple right now is Haley and Klaus, because Haley is kind of like, all right, I'm going to go take care of the wolves. And Klaus is like, all right, I'm going to go get back my brother. So they're on team get things done. Mm-hmm. And then everybody else kind of falls under their umbrella. You know, Haley's the one who approaches Marcel and Klaus is the one who is with Esther all episode. So I got to say, people are talking about how, yes, we're not there yet, but clearly will happen. And I do think that Klaus and Haley are both on equal levels of power right now. They're both hybrids. Neither one can really hold anything over the other one. They both share a secret and a child. So I get what people are saying when they see maybe a future. But I got to say, I didn't see the sparks this episode. I mean,
there was that scene, you know, I know you got tweets about, you know, when Klaus was trying to go change his shirt and it looked like Haley was trying to, like, go with him. In that moment, I was just kind of like, Haley, like,
I didn't see that.
I was like, what's happening right now? Like, he's going to close his bedroom door and you're trying to walk in there. But I think that they both make, I don't know what the correct term is, but googly eyes towards each other. But I also feel like it's an actor's choice to give us those moments to give the hint, because you I don't think we're ever really going to see Klaus tied down to any one person.
Do you think maybe they're reading the comments and, like, kind of feeding into what the fans want?
I think that sometimes you do, and I think that, you know, that is one way that things could go. Mm-hmm. At any moment, we could take a hard right and go down that lane.
Here's what
I will say. I think that we're staying straight with them, and we're not going either direction.
Yeah, here's what I will say about Clayley fans. They seem to be people who are endgame. They are all talking endgame. They're not talking about right now. None of them are like, oh, it looks like they're about to go hook up right this second. They're all saying, we think they will make a great couple down the line. So this is something we're only in season two. If we do get to a season six, a season seven, you know, we bring it to where Vampire Diaries has gone, then things really, this is a kind of a slow build that we're working on.
I don't think for either of those characters and everything that's going on in their lives, that's not a concern for them of who they're being with. Because we got the parents back, we got Elijah, you know, he was taken away for so many
their
episodes.
Their baby is gone.
Yeah. No one is talking about love and having sex right now.
Yeah.
Right. That's a good point. It's not a concern of theirs. Yeah. And what is a concern of Haley's right now isn't even going to get her other lover, Elijah, back. It's going to deal with Wolfland. All right. Finally, the question of the season for me, I'm like, where's the Alpha? Where's Jax? Where is he? What's going on? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Finally, he's back.
Whatever.
What do you mean?
y'all was saying thank you because y'all wanted to see him. That's all. Y'all just wanted to see him.
No, I will say this.
That is
very correct. But season one, even when Haley was kind of like learning that, you know, she kind of had a betrothed person already, and then she's pregnant with Klaus's child, and then having like feelings for Klaus's brother, you know, it was like this whole weird triangle thing.
She's just confused.
Hey, sometimes brothers are just hot and you can't pick one.
TBD.
That's on their spirits.
Yeah. So I'm just saying there's that whole triangle. And I always liked her with Jax.
Yeah. I feel you.
I just felt like, you know, she never really had any wolf roots growing up. And like, here's someone who like knows it and he gets it. And even despite you being married with a vampire's child, he still was like, yo, you still in?
He wasn't pushy either, though. He like knew she had her own stuff and he just kind of informed her like, just so you know, we're supposed to get married.
Just
letting you know.
I wouldn't be opposed if it ended up going that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
I would like to see it go there before we got to, like, her and a Klaus thing.
If we ever got there. So Haley goes to Jax to try to get him to come back and be Alpha and save Oliver, who I guess we're BFFs with now. Let's just call him Ollie. by the way, a little spoiler alert. He may or may not be coming up on our show next week.
Yay!
We will see. We are confirming right now. So hopefully in the coming weeks, he can give us more information on his poor character.
He rose on the seventh day.
Yeah.
He will be.
it was really, really sad, actually, to watch this happen, though. I mean, finally, Haley can't get Jax to be on the team, but she does get Ansel. Guys, that's it, right?
Ansel?
No,
it's Ansel.
Ansel.
S-E-L.
No, it's Ansel. No, it's an
like
A.
The actor from Fault in Our Stars. It's A-N-S-E-L.
Asshole.
Right?
Yeah.
Asshole. It's like meet the Fockers.
Meet the Fockers, yeah.
Asshole.
All of my notes say Hansel because that's what I thought they were saying, and then...
And Gretel, then. Fine.
Yeah, I was like, Hansel and Gretel.
I'm loving this character even before I knew what he was. So he's just on team, you know? He's like...
He's on team Wolf.
It wasn't like Jax was like, oh, you shouldn't do this. And he was like, all right, dude, I won't do it. He just kind of makes his own decisions and then goes about them and has a backbone.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like him, and I'm kind of upset how Klaus is acting towards him. I think it's because
it's valid, though.
It's because he wasn't in his life, but at the same time, I mean, when you see that when Michael found out who he was, he did kill him.
Right.
So that's what Esther was trying to protect him.
So I do agree that Klaus is being very harsh, but in the way that the show took place tonight, we were strung along for so long. I kind of want to like, what happened there? Are we on Team Enzel because we met him not as Klaus's dad first? You know what I mean? Because to me, he seemed like such a good guy. And then I was on his team. And then later on, we got to him being Klaus's dad. I was on his team before I knew he was this guy who birthed the person on the show that we love.
Well, let me say this. I kind of feel like Klaus knows something or feels something, because even after Esther told him the story about his father and why she kept him away from his father, I kind of feel like there's something that's missing. There's something more to that story, because even after, let's go into real life. If you find out something about your father and you meet your father, I don't think you would be that rebellious to your father.
Well, he had just seen, I mean, I agree with you that there's something that there's more that we don't know, but he had just seen his mom conjure up an image of his brother. So he knows he's right. capable, mm-hmm. she's capable of doing that. Mm-hmm. So I think he really at this point is in disbelief that this is his actual father.
Well, no, because in the preview, when the show goes off, he's aggressive with him again.
Right.
So I want them to be a team.
I don't think he thinks that this is his dad. And I think that he thinks if it is his dad, that his dad should have fought to be his father.
That's what I think he's thinking yeah. right now. I think he's mad at his dad for giving up and not coming and taking charge and like taking Klaus out of the environment he had to grow up in. Because Klaus's environment, you know, with a father that never loved him and, you know, always treated him so horribly, when he knows that now that he had a real father out there who would have embraced him and taken him as his own. Like, Klaus's childhood didn't have to be the way it was. Klaus wouldn't be the man that he is, like, so angry and upset with life if, I think he's thinking, if his father had taken him to be with the wolves.
Go ahead, Katie.
Well, was it, there was only a short amount of time, right, from when Klaus did find out that Michael wasn't his real dad. We saw
like
that.
The same day.
And then the death of his real father. That was the same day?
Yeah, because they found out, like, at the same time, and Michael killed him before Klaus even got to him.
I feel like, you know, you have to start to ask yourself, what would Klaus actually have been like if he was raised in a loving, nurturing home?
Alternate universe episode!
Like on Friends?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Like we go back in time, Klaus gets to go with the wolves, and we see how life would be so different.
That's crazy.
There might not be vampires.
I think it would be boring.
But there would be something else that was like, there would be something else out there. I'm just saying.
You're so optimistic.
Let's just see what would happen, guys. Let's see what would happen.
Maybe we should make a play and reenact it for you guys. Would you like that? They're like, no, never.
I'm Marcel.
Don't do that. All right. So yes, we are talking a little bit about Klaus, but I want to make sure we go back to what happens with Jax and Oliver and that whole situation, because I want to get your guys' opinion on whether you think Oliver's dying speech, I mean, he commits the rest of the wolves to basically let him walk scot-free. He's like, who are we if we kill each other? And then he ends up dying anyway, but his dying words are, go ahead.
I want to say about that, when he was talking to the wolves, Aiden was looking at Haley in that way, and I think they knew mutually that Aiden is on Haley's side, and he wasn't going to attack. He just had to have that whole, you know, front of this, yeah, I'm coming after you, but I'm really not going to.
But then he came back at her pretty hard, so I don't know. I mean, yes, she helped out with his little brother, and yes, there's kind of mutual respect there, but he's kind of acting as the alpha right now. I think he might have.
I think his act was, I think the look was, Haley, please don't make me have to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, you know,
it wasn't, I'm not going to do this. It was, I don't
like,
want it.
It's right. Like, hey, guys, I can't blow my cover now, because, you know, Ollie's already blown his for this whole movement. So I can't blow my cover, and you're kind of leaving me without a choice.
I don't think he was on team as much as Ollie was at this point either, though.
No, but.
But yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. But, I mean, he does. Aiden lets him go through, mm-hmm. and then only for Oliver to die, but his dying words are, Jax, you're the alpha. You're the alpha. It's got to be you. And then it was gruesome after
I
that.
I wrote, witches are horrible with how they kill people. Oh my gosh. Like,
yeah. You guys remember how they killed Genevieve, too?
Yeah.
It was like that, with the blood out of the eyes. There's something about the blood out of the eyes, man.
Yeah, man. That's just not natural.
I feel like you wouldn't be able to see.
I think that him saying that to Jackson and him dying, I think that's going to make Jackson want to be the alpha. I think he will. And I also think it's interesting to see Oliver, the way he was last season and then, you know, the beginning of the season. And he's just changing. And he was a good person, right, when he died.
Yeah.
Well, because he knows he's about to die, for one. But still, it's just a simple fact that he knew that he needed to say that. He said that. He said, I need to say this to you. You need to hear this.
Yeah, I think that he had started changing a little bit before that, you know, because he was helping people out. But it is true, when you are about to die, you're like, all right, if I got to pick team good or bad, I guess I'll go good.
Because yeah. I want to go to...
Yeah.
And I think that it also just shows that there is always only one alpha. And we saw last season Ollie trying to take that.
Yes,
and now Aiden trying to.
Yeah, and him realizing, look, I tried and I failed because it's not what I was destined to be.
Exactly.
And this is what Jax is destined to be, is the alpha. So the only way for the wolves to get back on the right track is for their leader to come back to them.
Right. Yeah. With his woman by his side, which would be Haley. I mean, if we're talking destiny here, if that's the direction we're going, if he's destined to be alpha, then what would be the terminology?
Do you think
she's
they were really...
destined to be alpha. Alpha.
Beta?
But beta would be below...
Oh, I just
next to alpha?
Alpha female and alpha male.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go with that.
We'll go with that.
Do you think they'll really be receptive to Haley, though, as a hybrid?
I think they're having a hard time with it, but I think if Jax takes control and fully embraces Haley, then they'll trust him.
Trust him.
Because the other thing is, it's not that Haley asked to become a hybrid, you know? It's like, how are they blaming her for the circumstances under which she
slept with a vampire, though. She did sleep with a vampire, and I think that a lot of the wolves wouldn't do that.
That's true. But that maybe still didn't make her... That didn't turn her into a hybrid.
Right. Yeah. That's true, but it did impregnate her with a little hybrid thing.
She still
hybrid
cares witch. About her wolf people.
Yeah. Because that's where her roots are. Mm-hmm. She's always going to put the wolves ahead of the vampires, because that is her family.
Mm-hmm.
She
mm-hmm.
just became a vampire. Why would she care about them as much?
All right, we were just talking about her getting pregnant, though, and I definitely want to get to this because this was the craziest part of the episode for me, guys. I didn't know anything about Dahlia going into this, and I knew nothing about what Hope actually meant or why Esther was so gung-ho about getting Hope. Now we know all of those things, so we did get a lot of answers tonight, even though, once again, I have many more questions. So... we're getting this background story, like you're talking about, T. It was really early on, and Esther and Dahlia, I guess they had a little bit of a falling out, but then Esther goes to Dahlia for her help, and Dahlia was a more powerful witch, and Esther wants to get pregnant, and I'm like, where are we going?
I was very confused. I was like, she needs help getting pregnant. She had like 15 kids. But then I realized it was before that.
I know. No, but I'm thinking, I'm like, where? I thought that Esther was the most powerful. And now what's going on? And her sister's being really nice. And what did she do to burn her sister?
And she says that it would take a huge sacrifice. And then it cuts away. And then we never went back to it for
minutes. You have to do my laundry for a month and a half, you know? if I'm sitting there like, oh, little sis, I'll help you out, baby girl, but seriously, it's going to be a big sacrifice. Like, I want all your cookies after dinner. You know? I mean, talk about an actual big sacrifice.
You know what I thought was interesting is seeing who Esther was before, you know, she turned her back on the magic, and she was just a nicer person. She's crazy now, you know, for her reasons in her head, but... she's just a completely different person. She said she was going to go back to the dark magic, and if you do this and you...
Well, at this point, she had to be a little bit more stronger, a stronger witch than she was back then, because she knows what her sister told her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the firstborn of every of every generation. And if that doesn't happen, she knew she had to defend herself, so she knew she had to get that power together.
I mean, I guess she also, at the time, was thinking, well, my line won't last too long.
Yeah.
And then she decided to make her children into vampires that are never going to die. So this is going to be a problem for the rest of their lives.
Right. And also because her children, at that point, were never expected to have children of their own because of what they were. So we knew that there was a first kid that had died. That's all we knew from the plague.
I thought it was a son.
I thought it was a son, too. Mm-hmm. But we knew that a kid had died from the plague. That actually is not true. The kid's name was Freya, we find out tonight. Mm-hmm. Freya was a girl. She was born. She was relatively old. I mean, like 4 or 5 years old when she was given.
I'm seven, eight.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like old enough to remember. Yeah. Oh, you're not my mother.
Right.
You know.
I was expecting mommy, like, mommy.
Right. I was expecting it to be like a newborn baby.
Yeah.
I mean, probably Dolly was just like, I don't want to deal with changing the diapers.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait. You take her to potty trains.
Well, it's interesting too because they said that she was the apple of Michael's eye, and then when she died, Michael thought it was the plague. That was the story. He shunned Esther to deal with his grief by himself, and that's what, you know, triggered her having an affair. It's interesting how that had a domino effect. Like,
guys,
that.
You know what I put together when I was watching this episode?
Should we drumroll you?
I mean, for me, it's like pretty big. Their last name is Michelson. Michael is their father's name. Yeah. Michael's son.
Oh, Michael's son?
Yeah, like Michael's son. That's what I put together. Took me 2 seasons.
Wait, can we get a close-up on the eye roll that we just got? I mean, could he have just thrown you more shade there? Like, Cortez just literally, his eyes did maybe 3 circles.
You know what, Cortez? All right. Forget you. Not all of us are as quick to pick up on these things. Okay?
Oh, my God, but you were so happy. You were so ecstatic. She was like...
Let her have it. Let her have it.
Get it, girl.
All of this, though, is definitely leading up to, I mean, we've watched the show for 2 seasons now. We know that they are not dropping Dahlia without having her come back on the show.
Oh, yeah.
And what if Freya is still alive?
Yes, what if Freya?
That's my question.
I wonder if Freya's still alive. Also,
where's Dahlia been?
And how is Dahlia going to find out that there's hope and hope is out there? Because Dolly's only going to come back if she knows she can come get
Hope.
Well,
she knew that Freya was not dead.
But no, they didn't try to pretend Freya was dead. Oh, they did. They tried to pretend Freya.
She kept her away because she was. I think when they were talking,
Freya was dead with the plague, yes. But really she was alive. Oh, no. I thought that's just what they told the kids.
That's what she was. Because Michael was out hunting or something, and so he wasn't going to be back for a while. So she said, "You'll tell him that she
died from the plague."
Yeah, this was like a whole situation.
And you had to burn the body.
I mean, but even still, though, she's a witch. Come on,
I guess, but Esther doesn't know.
When I watched this the first time, I thought that Dahlia killed Freya. But now, watching it the second time, I'm thinking, is Freya out there, and is she going to come back too? Or are we going to hear more about that?
I don't think Dahlia was supposed to make the sacrifice. Esther was supposed to make the sacrifice. Esther did not sacrifice Freya. So Dahlia came back and got Freya.
Nobody
was supposed to sacrifice anybody. She wanted a kid. It wasn't like she wanted Esther to burn the kid.
That was the sacrifice. Freya is the firstborn.
Yeah, the sacrifice was to have the kid, not to kill the kid. Dahlia wanted the child.
Wait, hang on, guys. You're thinking literal sacrifice of, like, a child to pay the debt, right?
No, you know,
is that what's happening here?
It could be either way, though, I think. She could...
She said that of every generation, the firstborn...
Like, she said she's going to come take them. She never said anything about killing.
She was like, you have to sacrifice, like, give it up to me, like, not, like, to God or to...
Yeah, not, like, on an altar.
Even if that's the case, still, like, I mean, Freya, you know...
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know where Freya is. We don't know where Freya is now. We don't know when Dahlia is coming back. We don't know where Hope and Rebecca are. There's a lot of women with a lot of scorn coming back into this picture.
Thanks for clarifying that, because I so thought they were talking about kill the first...
way better than us, though? You guys at home.
Like, yes.
So much better. We're sitting here, like, picking out. They're probably like, oh, you got this the first time.
Now. I need to be sitting right there. You
know, what I think is very interesting, too, is to see that Esther, she's wanting to make right what she made wrong doing the vampires. But she started this entire thing. We knew that about the vampires, but she even started it before. She cursed the family from day one asking for magic to have a child.
Yeah, I know.
She started this.
She did. She did. On that note, I want to get to some predictions, guys, because I know we got to wrap soon. So let's talk pretty quickly about what we are thinking. What are we gossiping about over there, kidlets? What we're thinking is going to happen next week. So finally, we're seeing Cole and Davina back. Thank you. Boom. I mean,
wait, weren't they there last week?
Yep.
Well, they weren't here tonight, so.
Oh, I just feel like they have, like, an every episode,
they're like every other episode
thing going along with them right now, so.
Yeah, and they were in the one before that. Yeah, so they're coming back, which I'm excited to see. And I don't know, we saw a couple other things in previews. Klaus was talking to his dad. Maybe now he believes who it is, but he's just pissed. What do you guys think is going to happen?
I think that Klaus and his father will hate each other for a while, but then I think that they're going to end up teaming up because Michael is still out there. And Michael killed Ansel the first time around. So you know that dude wants some revenge,
it's
too.
Gotta be Ansel.
Ansel. I'm sorry. I thought his name was Hansel the whole time, too. I'm sorry. But I think that eventually they will team up to take down Michael together. And in that... get we'll a father-son bonding thing going for them.
But okay. Will Esther join their team?
I think Esther will try, but I mean, they might keep her at arm's distance. I wouldn't want her near me.
Yeah, me neither.
If I was either one of them.
Join Klaus and Ansel. Oh, no.
I think that she...
yeah, I you think, said it that time.
I think what might happen is that she will try to... You know, it's not working, her trying to get her kids on her team, so she's going to try to win them over by, I'll kill Michael then. So then you can...
So, like, I can't get what I want, so maybe I can have a second best?
Maybe. I'm really tired of her saying the same thing over and over again. I'm like, stop. I don't need to hear it for the 10th time.
We get it, okay? Yeah. You think you made monsters. We know. Okay.
You did. You did, but you also birthed
great
them.
TV.
Yeah. They could have turned out to be monsters even if they weren't monsters.
Very true.
You raised them.
Okay,
it's
guys.
On you, Esther.
So
on you.
This episode was insane. I know you guys at home are going to be wanting to talk to my amazing panel here throughout the week to tell them all of your unbelievable theories and relationship predictions. So, guys, where can we find you? Starting with Tiana.
I am on Twitter and Instagram at the Tiana Hobson.
Cortez.
Oh, you can find me on all social media. I was just texting back Valencia. Hey, girl. Cortez GUS and all the. Social media is Katie.
You can find me on Twitter at Katie Campbell. That's Katie with 3 E's. And Instagram at Katie Campbell 13.
And you can find me at Roxy Starr. You can find us at AfterBuzz TV or AfterBuzzTV.com. Always go to iTunes and YouTube. Rate, comment, subscribe. We respond to every single thing. We read all the stuff you guys are saying. We love it. You guys are the reason we are here. Thank you so much. Until next week.
I'm going to knock you out.
Ooh. Oh.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye. See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.